be on guard now. Okay. Don't be falling asleep. All right. So we light our candle again. And I'm going to get another balloon. But here's another balloon. This person's connected to Jesus, right? He's got a connection to God. Though this time, this person accepted Jesus, right? And this person has been filled with the holy water. Been filled with water. Why water? Because on John 7:38, it says that he who believes in Jesus, streams of living water will flow within him. So, how is this balloon like living water? It's priceless, and it is for salvation. It is water, it is salvation, yet it is priceless. That is what's going on in this balloon. And it doesn't matter whether you're a boy or a girl or black or white or rich or poor or anything. Salvation is for anybody who asks upon the name of Jesus Christ. Both water and salvation are necessary for life, both physical and eternal. Got that? So, what do you think is going to happen when I... Now, scoot over. This is going to splash kind of big. You might get... Oh, you got that poncho on. Okay, that's okay. So, what's going to happen when we got this balloon here? What's going to happen? Let's think of a good sin. Let's think of a good sin. Lying to your pastor. Ooh, that's a good one. So, Mr. Pastor, I was going to be in church last Sunday, but my mule had a hangnail, and I couldn't make it. And, no, it's going to go, No! I'm protected with living water. I'm protected by the salvation of Jesus. And this balloon keeps my connection to God. I don't lose my connection. I may have sinned, but Jesus will forgive me of my sins when I have my faith in him. He'll forgive me of my past sins, my future sins, sins I've already done, and I'm sorry I did. Those are like the past sins. But when I have salvation in Jesus Christ, I have protection. Capiche? There you go. That's what I want to hear. Very good. All right. My little buckaret, thank you so much for being there. Jolly on the spot. I appreciate your safety concerns for me. All right. You may go be seated. Thank you. Now I tip it over. There we go. That was good. All right. So in your little brochure, if you play along with me, you could open up to your page for one sin, and our little cabin talk that we would have with our campers is, what is perfection? Three letters. God. What is sin? Any wrong deed. What is salvation? Protection. Through? Jesus. That's right. Jesus. Very good. All right, buckaroos and buckarettes, moving right along, we're going to go to our next experiment showing the love that God has for us. Oh, make a mess up here. Look at all these balloons and things all over here. You got a cleaning people that come through this church and clean? Oh, they'll take care of it. Okay. All right. Today, I want to talk to you kids and big buckaroos and buckarettes about how you get into heaven. That's right. I heard a Now, how many people think that to get into heaven, you have to do good? Now, it's a good thing nobody raised their hand here because you would have been embarrassed, okay? But a lot of people are thinking like that. I've got to do good to get into heaven. Do you know anybody like that? I do. I do. And I do. So, how does this work? Well, some people think that if you commit a sin, you can kind of do like this good deed to offset the sin, right? So it's kind of like the scale in life, you know? You got good deeds and it's going down like that. And you got a sin and it's kind of going down not like that, you know? And at the time your lights get turned out, that means dead. You have to figure out not how many good things that you did or how many bad things you did. The number doesn't matter. It's where the scale is in the tip. And if you did a lot of good deeds, then you're going to heaven. But if the scale in your life's went out, your scale's this way, you're going to go to someplace else. And that won't be in a relationship with God. So that's kind of scary. So that's how a lot of people think it works. Doesn't matter how many you did. It's the balance of the scales. Back and forth, back and forth. Some other religions teach that. Now, others think there's the great container in life. There's the great container in life, and basically, if you fill up the container, and we're going to use like little styrofoam peanuts, you know, little peanuts you get from UPS, and they get out of the bag, and then you curse them because they're blowing all around your yard, and you can't do anything with them, and you're upset about them, and go, why do they make these darn things? Okay, I've got here some styrene peanuts. And I'm going to fill up this can here. This is like, if we want to get to heaven, this is how some people think. If you want to get to heaven, well, you got to just fill up the can full of lots of good deeds, right? Lots of good deeds, lots of things you do for your mom and your dad, and you cleaned out the cat box, and you cleaned up your room, and you watered the lawn, and you did all these things that your mama asked you to do, and then, you know, you read your Bible and did your homework, and you did all things. I'm going to push them down, because I want to make sure we get them all in there, okay? So there we go. That's pretty full. So we think many times, if we can get enough to fill up this little can, we'll go to heaven. Makes good sense to me. So let's take these and put them out here. So that's kind of what we need to get to heaven. So some people think, fill up the can, we're going to heaven. So put all those right there. There we go. Kind of get a sense of what that's all about. And so, but how do you know how many? What's a good number of deeds to do? Is it 50? Is it 150? Is it 600? I mean, this is a pretty important question. This is your salvation we're talking about. You want to know how many good deeds you're supposed to do, right? We'll demonstrate this again. All right. You got to know or you're not going to get to heaven. Okay. So we already talked about these peanuts here. So we already did that. We know we can fill up the container, and we think we're going to heaven. So we get all these peanuts here, and we put them in the container. And now what I need, because we already talked about kind of what these good deeds were, let's get some more good deeds. And I really need anybody in the whole church here to shout out a good deed. It filled up before. All right, well, you know what? We just need more good deeds. That's all. That's all we do. We just need some more good. So shout out a good deed.
Give it a hitchhiker a ride.
Give it a who a ride? A hitchhiker a ride. Oh, that's a good deed. All right. What else have we got going on? Helping someone cross the road, this buckaroo says. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Come on. Let's get some good deeds going. I'm getting close to heaven. Come on, folks. Helping people. There's a good one. How about brushing your teeth? Oh, I think it's a double whammy. All right, come on now. I got more. Come on. I'm getting close. Come on, more good deeds. Giving food to the poor. Oh, that's a double helping. That you know what? That will impress a lot of people in heaven. That's a biggie one. They like that. All right, come on now. Let's. Folks, I need some help back here. I need some good deeds so I can get to heaven. Come on now. I got. Yeah, talking about God and learning about. How about reading our Bibles? Is that a good deed? Oh, that's kind of the key to the doorknob to get into heaven, isn't it? God,
tithing triple.
Can we talk after church a little bit on the outside? You seem to have some money. I would like to talk to you outside, just one-on-one, okay? Oh, okay, so giving triple. Tithing triple, all right. How about just tithing in general? We'll squeak out anything we can. Okay, come on. What? Now, wait a second. I was so close to getting into heaven. I had everything going for me.
Helping your neighbor,
I like that. Let's talk again after church. All right, come on now. What else we got? Helping your friends. I think I kind of heard that before, but you can never overdo helping your friends a little bit, you know. Going to church? Did someone say going to church? Wait a second. I need more good deeds. Okay, come on now. How about the people that clean the church here? That's a pretty good deed that they do. Come on now, come on. Oh, I'm close to the top. You can see it. It's starting to get to the top. Here I come, Jesus! I'm coming, Jesus! Oh, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it to heaven. Jesus is going to have me because I did enough good deeds to get all the way through. Oh. Where'd it go? Where'd the good deeds go? I was so close. What happened? What happened? What happened? Where'd the good deeds go? Mama Donna? Oops. Mother-in-law of Ken? What's a good deed? Going to church again. Okay, one more time. You can never do enough church. That's what I say. Okay, we're going to get close to heaven again. Come on, baby. Here I come, Jesus. I'm coming at you. Go, St. Peter, hold the gate open for me because here I come. Me and Millie, I treat Millie really nice. I give her candy bars and I give her Snickers and I give her all kinds of healthy, good donkey food. And it's like, what? Respect your parents. Oh, my goodness. That gets a double dose. I like that. Whoever your mama is, she must love you. Okay? What? Do what your parents say. That's another double dash. Come on. I'm getting close. I can see it. I've got so many good deeds. Jesus, here I come. It's coming. Oh. St. Peter, I want you to look at my can because it is filled with good deeds, and you owe it to me to get into heaven because I just did all these good deeds. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? This don't seem to be working. Maybe good deeds is not the way we're supposed to do this thing. I don't understand it. What did I do wrong? Buckaroos, buckarettes, what did I do wrong? While it's true some have committed sins, as the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, I spent my entire life doing things that are good for others. Good deeds, that's what I've done. But what did I do wrong? What am I missing? Come on now. Well, let's turn to the Bible. Bible, fact or fable? Fact or fable? Bible, fact or fable? There you go. Let's turn to the Bible for answers. In Ephesians, Ephesians says that it is by grace, favor we don't deserve. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. It is a gift from God. Well, I kind of get it then. So it is faith that gets us into heaven, not good deeds. Ah. Now here's the question, buckaroos and buckarettes. Faith in what? Faith in what? Our faith needs to be in Jesus. That is the way we get into heaven, as presented by this book of facts. So, what about the good deeds? What about the good stuff? How does that play into all of this? Do we still need to be a good person? Absolutely, buckaroos and buckarettes. Somebody said no, but we still need to do that because Matthew says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and what? Praise you? No. Praise your Father. And there's the angle. I see something extra special in that person. What makes him go out of his way to do those certain things? What does he have that I kind of secretly would like to have myself? You know what? He says he's a Christian. Says he believes in Jesus, has turned his life over to him, and has given him authority over his life. He tries not to sin, though he'll sin. But there's the man or woman that does good deeds, not to get into heaven, but it's their way of thanking God. It's their way of thanking God for their salvation and their protection. That's how they get into heaven, doing good deeds in that fashion. Once we know Jesus, we should start to want to be like Jesus. That means we try to reduce the sin in our lives. And here's a tricky word, and try to act like a Christian. Though that's a difficult word because it doesn't truly have a good definition. But we try to reduce the sin in our lives so that we can act like a Christian. This honors our Father. So, what have we learned? Well, I hope it's obvious that good deeds are not sufficient to get into heaven, right? We are saved by our faith in Jesus and not our good works. Just remember, you can spend your whole life doing good deeds to get into heaven, but no matter how much you tell the truth, how much money you give to charity, we're going to talk after church, remember? Okay. Or how many people you help were in need. In the end, without Jesus, you are empty. Capiche? All right, there we go. Moving on to our final and last lesson here. Let's go ahead and take a look at our little bulletin that the campers looked at this weekend. And that would be, how many good deeds must it take to get to heaven? How many good works are needed for heaven? And there's a number sign. What's the number?
Zero.
There you go, buckaroo. What is needed for salvation? Faith in
Jesus.
My God, you are a sharp bunch of people. I got to commend your pastor working well with you folks there. You got pretty much on this thing here. All righty. Our final. Where did those all go? I don't know. Oh, well. We'll find them later. The church cleanup crew will find them later. All right. God bless the church cleanup crew. The servanthood that is overlooked by many. Okay. Moving along. Kind of doing time correctly here. Watching the clock in the back. This last one is a doozy. Talked a little bit kind of out of these three lessons out of the eight that we talk about in Camp Fur Cross. We talked about perfection. We talked about getting into heaven through the faith in Jesus. And now we're going to talk about what Jesus' blood does for us and how it cleanses us. But first, I want to introduce to you not Smiley, not Spike, not Petunia, not Millie, but I want to introduce to you the little flutter of my heart, my lovely girlfriend, Penelope Purdy Boots. Will you come out here? Oh, there she is. There she is. Isn't she cute? Yeah, I'm your snookums. Yeah. Don't you just shudder when she comes in.
I'm so happy to see you.
You too, darling. Oh, good.
There was no hay there, but I think the pastor had some flowers in the garden, and Millie was just helping herself to the flowers.
What I've seen from the pastor's unmowed lawn, there's a lot of flowers out there, a lot of dandelions and all kinds of things.
Yeah,
so I think Millie has plenty of food.
All right.
I'm checking on her for you. Okay, very good. Thank you. But you know what? While you're standing here, will you come up here so we can see your pretty boots? Now, before you, I don't want you to get all fixated on those boots, because I've got some pretty boots, too. Kids, do you know what those boots are made out of? Oh, my goodness.
They're going to be so surprised.
These boots are made out of the finest polyvinyl chloride PVC resin you can buy from China before the tariffs. Right there on my feet. No tariff impacted, but I got the finest PVC boots. But you, Penelope Purdy Boots, you got the purtiest boots. I must say, you wear them well, girl. You wear them well. Why don't you just have a seat here, and I'll need your help in just a moment.
Yes.
You okay with that gun there?
Oh, my gun. Yeah, sorry.
You didn't have to click it. Why'd you click it? Want to make sure it wasn't loaded, right? Well, maybe it is. Let's find out.
If you don't
know
if it's right, we may have to shoot you.
Ooh, yeah. All right, let's get serious. I think she's serious. Buckaroos and buckarettes, hand down. I'm going to read you a poem, and then we're going to use this poem for the basis of our next presentation. This poem, as most are, written by a dead guy. His name is Robert Frost. Robert Frost is the author of this poem, and the poem is called Nothing Gold Can Stay. Okay? Let me read to you. Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her earthly leaves a flower, but only so for an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank in grief. So dawn goes down today, nothing gold can stay. This is talking about life and death. Nothing can stay alive. Everything has to die. It's all about life and death. It says that every living creature, no matter how beautiful, will eventually die. For you adults, I have a statistic for you. The statistics on death are impressive. One out of one people die. That includes all of us here. We're all going to die. The Bible says every living creature, no matter how beautiful, will eventually die. Was it always this way?
Yes.
No. There you go, Buckaroo. No. Once people lived in the Garden of Eden where death did not exist. But then something happened, didn't it? What happened?
Sin.
Sin entered the world because God's creatures did not obey his command. Do not eat of the fruit, forbidden fruit. From that point on, all living creatures were sentenced to death. Just the way it is. Now, even the first golden blooms of a tree, the prettiest flowers, and all people will eventually die. Just the way it is. Nothing gold can stay. So, today, I want to introduce to you, and I'm going to have my lovely girlfriend walk this around and show it to you. But this is a very dear friend of mine. Her name is Goldie. Do you know why they call her Goldie? Because she looks golden when she's inside this jar. Her name is Goldie. And Goldie is just like you and me when we were first born. She's pure of heart, and she's just precious, and she's just like gold. That's why I call her Goldie, because she's so beautiful. Will you walk that around, everybody? Be gentle. She is so precious to me. She is so precious to me. You can walk her down. Yeah, but she's just so precious. But nothing can stay gold. That's what they say. Nothing can stay gold. All it takes is just one little mistake. All it takes is just one little boo-boo called sin, and we might lose Goldie. Not might. We will lose Goldie. But for the time being, she's so perfect. She is so beautiful. She's so precious. She couldn't possibly sin because she's Goldie. Kind of like a newborn baby. How could this baby possibly fall into sin? I'm its parent. I'll teach it correctly. It won't sin because, well, we'll leave that alone. Thank you, darling. Very nice job. So here I have Goldie. Yeah. Now, do you remember what sin is? Kind of remember what sin is? The wrong deed, that's what we filled in our little bulletin, okay? But what's so bad about sin, right? I have a container of sin right here. Here's Goldie, here's sin. Looks to be okay to me. Looks innocent enough. Not much in it, a little vapor, says sin. Well, they make a big deal about sin, don't they? Don't do this, don't do that, don't try this, don't go there. But I could put my toe in the water, I could kind of check it out, I could see, it looks innocent enough. In fact, it looks just like water, don't it? There's hardly anything in it.
Do you see on the back side here? Do you see what that is? That is the symbol of skull and crossbones. Skull and crossbones are the symbol of death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That means that sins are like poison and they can kill you. They can kill you. Oh, but I don't want to give Goldie to you. Now, does that mean our physical bodies will die? Well, not necessarily, but our spiritual bodies will die. Our bodies to be eternally with God could die. So it simply means when we sin, we're no longer perfect. But Goldie here, she's perfect. But if we sin, there's no way to get to heaven because God can only live with perfect people. We are separated from God when we sin. Our hope in eternal life with God is dead if we sin. Now, what do you think is going to happen when Goldie gets a little bit older and she commits a sin? What's going to happen? Let's see. Now, Goldie, I've raised you in the church. You've been a wonderful girl. You were so cute. I can give you all these baby pictures, and we know right from wrong. And I know you would never sin. I know you would never sin, Goldie, because we have discussed this time and time again, and you don't do these certain things. And then, no, oh, Goldie, you sinned. You've broken your relationship to God. Oh, honey. Just like all of us. You're facing death. Sin. It is death. Oh, Goldie, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. The nature of the world goes to sin. Ah! But I have good news. A Savior has come. His name is Jesus. He is God's son. He is a part of God. He is the God-man. Some have said he's God with a bod. Okay. And why do we know he's God? Well, one way we know that he's God is he performed miracles, didn't he? Can some of you kids or someone name a miracle that Jesus performed? Did he feed 5,000 people with a boy's lunch? Yep. Could he change the weather out on the ocean or out on the Sea of Galilee? Certainly did. Could he heal sick people? Certainly did. Did he raise the dead? He certainly did. But there are two miracles that I didn't mention. Does anybody know which miracle was his first one? He changed water into wine. Very, very good. Jesus was at a party. They ran out of wine. The servants brought Jesus a jug of water. And Jesus turned the water into wine. An incredible story. This was Jesus' first miracle. But it wasn't his best miracle. You see, during the life of Jesus, he did many things for people who saw him every day. But one of these miracles was the gift he gave for all people. The past, the gift for the present, and the gift for the future. This gift was his life. This gift was his life. But before sacrificing himself, he met with his disciples. And in Matthew, we read that he took a cup of wine. Okay, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many and is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. So we know that Jesus used wine to represent his blood. So, let's take wine. And we had Jesus' water. And we used Jesus' water, and he turned it into wine just like that. Jesus' wine is a symbolism of Jesus' blood. When we take communion with Pastor Man, we take communion to remember Jesus' sacrifice and that he gave this symbol to his disciples that night, the symbol of his blood. So, would you like to see the power of Jesus at work?
Amen.
Amen. Because this is mighty. My right hand, I've got my right hand, my left hand, my right, and my right hand, I've got all the sins of the world. All the sins that you have done, your parents have done, everybody has done in the past, in the present, the sins of the future. His death covers them all. All the sins that your brother has done, your sister has done, your parents have done, all the sins everybody has done. Everything. Jesus' blood covers it all. There is no sin that Jesus' blood cannot cover. In Romans, it is stated, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This sin is all that is in the way of people having a relationship with God in heaven. This is it. Once sin goes away, we can be with God. And in my other hand here, we have Jesus' blood. Now, the power of Jesus against sin can be put together. Praise the Father, Lord, for the Christ of Jesus. He is right here. He is cleansing us, and he is making us pure and clean. Go, Jesus. Yes, his blood covers our sins completely, totally. Capiche? There you go. All right. So, John 3:16 states it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall have, not perish, but shall have eternal life. We need to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Woo! I get all goosebumped over all this. All right, all right. Well, I think this is the appropriate time to say thank you all so much for your attention. I got a mule outside that's going to need my attention in a little bit. And how about the music team come on up and finish us off? Finish us off with some worship music to praise the Lord. Come on up here, music team. Don't you worry now. I got you. I got a little spot for you right over here, honey.
Are you gonna help me?
I'm right here, honey. I'm helping you.